Hi everyone. If you don't know me, my name's Mark and I'm going to be preaching for us today. But before I start, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time we have to consider your word. Please would you help us now to understand and be changed by what we read. I pray that your spirit will be at work in all of our hearts to help us to hear and believe. Amen. Lots of things feel slow at the moment. Just look out the window and the pace of things feels slower. Not that there's necessarily less happening, but less seems to get done. You go to the shop and you have to wait in a queue. At work, your meetings take longer on Zoom. Even the post is slower. Like some things are grinding to a halt. Some things even going backwards. The economy shrank by 20% in April. How about your life? Does it feel slow? Like nothing is moving on? How about your Christian faith at the moment? Maybe this is a time for you when you feel no change, no growth. It feels difficult. Well, in these slow times, Jesus gives us some great news. The kingdom of God hasn't stopped. It hasn't shrunk 20%. In fact, it's still growing. And if you're a Christian, that's great news for you because you are part of that kingdom. And that's something that God will always cause to grow. Both we as the people within it, he will cause us to grow, and he will also bring more people in. Our readings that we'll have in a moment speak about this kingdom. But before we get to them, I want to take a moment to just step back just a little bit to ask a question which is fundamental, it underlies all of this. And if we don't know the answer to this, then the rest of what follows means nothing. The question is this: what is God's kingdom? It's a phrase we hear lots as we read through the Gospels, as we hang around in Christian circles. It's a bit of jargon, isn't it? The kingdom of God. But what is it? If I asked you to define the kingdom of God, it's tricky. I suppose your answers would probably start with an because I know mine would. So before we dig deeper into the passage we'll be looking at today, I want to just take this step back and see what Luke tells us about the kingdom of God. We're going to see three big things about the kingdom of God. We'll just take a really short time on each, and then we'll get to the readings, and then we'll dig into the passage that we're looking at today a bit more. So what is the kingdom of God? Luke talks about it loads. Actually, he mentions it 39 times in his gospel. And we're obviously not going to look at all of those things now, but drawing out just three big things. So the first, it's quite simple, but it's really important. What is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom is where a king reigns. We live in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And what makes us a kingdom is the fact that we live under the rule of a monarch, Queen Elizabeth II. We're part of the United Kingdom because we are under her rule. We are subject to her. Now, you can also think about the United Kingdom as the sort of geography, the land, the place. But Luke principally uses the idea to talk about God's rule. That's where the emphasis is first. So what is the kingdom of God? Firstly, it's where God rules. It's where God is acknowledged as king. Secondly, we learn from Luke that the kingdom of God is why Jesus came. On the screen, you'll see something that Jesus said near the start of Luke's gospel, talking about why he came. He said this: "I must proclaim the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And earlier in the same chapter, he gave another statement about what his mission was. It's something that if you were listening in last week, you'll have heard also. But I'm going to repeat it because it's a really important statement that Jesus gives. It's basically his manifesto for his whole mission of coming to earth. So Jesus quoted Isaiah and he said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Jesus' mission was to set people free, not just from physical illness and difficulty, but free from the reign of sin and death and Satan, and free to come into God's kingdom, to come under God's rule. So what is God's kingdom? It's where God rules. And it's why Jesus came, to bring people under God's rule into his kingdom. And now thirdly, we see that this is a reality both now and yet also to be fulfilled in the future. It's one of those things which is now and not yet. And we see this really clearly in Luke's gospel. For instance, in chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, it says this: "Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Jesus says it's not something you can point at as it arrives, because in fact it's already here. Jesus brings God's rule with him as he sets people free from sin and death and Satan. God's kingdom has come. But Jesus also famously tells his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come." And that's because God's kingdom is not yet here fully. That's something that will come on Jesus' return. It's something we wait for in the future. So God's kingdom is where God rules. It's what Jesus came to bring and is here now, but also still yet to come in the future. So without further ado, let's have our readings for today. Our first one is going to be from Daniel chapter 4, and the second one from Luke chapter 13, the passage we'll be looking at in a bit more detail as we come back. So I'll hand over now to Alicia and Dominic for our readings.
So Luke 13, 18 to 21. "Then Jesus asked, 'What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches.' Again he asked, 'What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough.'"
Thank you, Alicia and Dominic. Do keep that passage of Luke open, because that's what we're going to be digging into now. Now this passage, it's only a few verses, but it picks up on a theme that's been running all the way throughout this section of Luke's gospel about God's kingdom. So Jesus has been teaching his disciples what it means to follow him, what it means to be a disciple. In other words, he's been teaching them what it means to be an active member of God's kingdom. And Jesus gives us these two pictures to help us see something of what the kingdom of God is like. So we'll consider each in turn, and we'll just think about one thing that each picture tells us about God's kingdom. The first picture is about a mustard seed, and I'll just read it again. "Then Jesus asked, 'What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches.'" A mustard seed. Now that is one of these. I don't know if you can see it or not. It's really small. And that's the sort of first thing you notice about it there. Maybe you can see that. It's really small. It's a picture that shows how God's kingdom can grow from small, tiny beginnings. It's so small. It starts off tiny, but it ends up as a tree like this you can see on screen. That's quite a change from something that if I put down, I'd probably lose it. In fact, during trying to film this, I've already lost two in our sitting room somewhere. And it becomes something which is big enough for a bird to perch in. That's what God's kingdom is like. It may seem small, but it will grow. In fact, it'll grow far larger than a mustard tree. If you remember our other reading from Daniel, with the great vision of a tree that grew so large and strong that its top touched the sky, it was visible to the ends of the earth. That is the imagery that Jesus is picking up on when he mentions how the birds come and perch in its branches. The tree in the dream was talking about a human kingdom, one where all the animals of the earth came and sheltered under its branches and the birds lived in it. But this is God's kingdom, and it's a picture of what God's kingdom is like. It will be like that great tree in Daniel. Or just think back to that verse we read from Revelation at the start of the service. In the end, God's kingdom will consist of every nation, people, tribe and language all gather around God's throne, acknowledging him as king, in a great multitude that no one can count. Jesus knew that God's kingdom grows from small beginnings. He chose a group of 12. Just 12, that's not very many at all. That's enough to fit round a table, enough to fit on one Zoom screen, a mustard seed. That was the beginning of Christianity, a table's worth of people who would grow into a great multitude that no one could count. God's kingdom is growing, and it grows from small things. Jesus has been teaching what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow him and be a part of God's kingdom. And a lot of it seems small. You might have to think back a fair way. The story of Mary and Martha. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened. That seems small. Jesus tells his disciples to pray a prayer of only 34 words. That's pretty small. Jesus tells his followers to sell their possessions and give to the poor. That's not going to make a dent in world poverty. It seems small. Or not worrying. That was a big theme from the last chapter. And yet, how small is that? It's just inside your head. No one else can see it. But the truth is, as Jesus' followers do these things, the kingdom of God grows. Every time someone opens their Bible to, like Mary, sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words, God's kingdom is growing. Every time someone says that small prayer, "Our Father in heaven," God's kingdom is growing. As you give your money to the poor, or as you trust your Father and resist worry, God's kingdom is growing. So do the small things, because that is what our Father in heaven uses to grow his kingdom. He uses that to grow us as members of his kingdom, and he even uses it to bring others in as well. Do you sometimes neglect or forget those things? Do you drop and lose them, like me losing a mustard seed? Because they're small and you forget about them. You think, just one day, and I won't read the Bible today. That's fine. It doesn't matter. It's small. Or do you think, I can't be bothered to pray now. I mean, 34 words isn't much, but nah. Do you think it's too small? Do you think that it's no biggie? These are the small things God uses to grow his kingdom. Let's make the most of them. Don't neglect them. Isn't it amazing to know that God uses our smallness our little things. God uses little broken people like us to grow his kingdom. He grows us to be more like his son. And he grows us and brings other people in using us, using our small little deeds. Life may feel slow at the moment, like there's nothing big happening. There's no big progress or change. But God uses small things to grow his kingdom. And so if we trust and follow Jesus as our Saviour and our Lord, then we are part of it. We're part of something so much bigger, something that is growing, even now, from a mustard seed to a great tree. And that's really exciting. Even when we look out the window and it seems slow, God's kingdom is growing. God's kingdom is growing and we can be a part of it. It's great. Now the second picture is one about yeast working through dough. Let me read it again. Again, he said, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Let me give you a bit of an insight into my life during the week. I, like half the nation it seems, during lockdown have got a bit more into baking. I've not gone full lockdown and started doing sourdough and all that, but I have got a bit more familiar with yeast and making some bread. Here is a picture of some bread dough that I made this week. It's not quite the 30 kilos of dough that the woman in Jesus' story has, but you can see the effect yeast has on the dough, because here you are, here's a picture after it's been left out overnight. You can see the yeast has worked through the dough. It's puffed up as the yeast produces bubbles of carbon dioxide. Now, yeast is a small microorganism and starts off as separate granules, just like the ones in this jar here. Don't know if you can see them very well, but tiny little granules. And when it's mixed into the mixture, it reproduces and spreads all the way through the dough. And that is what Jesus is using as this comparison with the kingdom of God. The yeast works its way all the way through the dough. And in the same way, God's kingdom grows unstoppably. God's kingdom grows unstoppably. The picture we're given is this huge batch of dough, 30 kilos. But even just a tiny pinch of yeast, given enough time, will work its way through the whole batch. Once it's in there, you can't stop it. You mix your yeast in with your flour, you add your water, and it's in there, working away. And it's going to work its way through the dough, whether you like it or not. And God's kingdom grows in the same way. Jesus brought the start of God's kingdom as he came to bring freedom from sin and Satan, to bring people into God's kingdom under his rule. That's like the first pinch of yeast into the dough. And now it's spreading. The kingdom is growing and it can't be stopped. You might not always be able to see it happening. Like if you just stare at a bowl of dough, you can't see the yeast doing anything. You can't see it at work. But Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God, it's not like a batch of dough where the yeast dies and fails. It's like a batch of dough where the yeast spreads all the way through it. It accomplishes its purpose. It fills it, which is great news, because we can be sure that the kingdom of God will grow. It will be complete. We can be sure of the outcome, even when things look like they're going wrong. Even when things look like they're messing up, slowing down, grinding to a halt, we can know that God's kingdom will grow no matter what. When things go wrong on the big scale, you know, things like the numbers of people attending church going down, scandal in the church, God being sidelined in our society, or Sundays not being able to have services of all meeting together. Or in the small things as well, when there's difficulties there. For instance, if we face rejection on the personal scale from our family and friends, or if we have no seemingly good response as we share our faith with others, even if everything we do fails, God's kingdom will still grow. Progress may seem slow at the moment, but Jesus tells us we can be sure that God's kingdom will still grow. Coronavirus won't stop it. Rejection by your friends and family won't stop it. Nothing can stop it. God's kingdom will triumph in the end. Jesus doesn't compare it to a mustard seed that starts growing and then gets ripped up and thrown away. He doesn't compare it to some dough that gets yeast halfway through it and then is chucked out. No. God's kingdom will complete its purpose. We know what the end is like. It's those from every nation, tribe and tongue gathered round God's throne in the kingdom of God, acknowledging him as king. So live for that now. Be an active member of God's kingdom. Do the small things. These are little mustard seeds because God uses them to grow his kingdom. And don't lose heart. Even when things look slow or like they're failing or going wrong or off the rails, because God's kingdom is coming. In fact, it's already here and no one can stop it.